the truth. Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the National Conference of Free Speakers. We get people, international conference, we get people from all over the world here, and we talk about things that you're not allowed to say in the mainstream, and outside of the mainstream, a lot of the mainstream's not smart enough to say some of the things that we talk about. So it's not just being away from the mainstream, but it's being at a smart conference of free thinkers. And that's what RBN is like. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send your conference attendance fees. That's what you can look at it as. And then go to nationalbugle.com. There are some good articles there, usually, but there's always the co-certified app, and you can download that and see if you are leading a non-kosher certified lifestyle. Okay, today's Tuesday. We have Mark Collett. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hello, Patrick. It is a pleasure, as always, to be here. I have had a very, very busy weekend, and I am still a little croaky because of it, as you can probably hear, because it was our Northern Conference this weekend, and what an event it turned out to be. A huge success in the face of pretty extreme adversity, actually. So quite a bit to talk about in regards to that. But I hear you've already spoken to one of our attendees, who is obviously Paul Edward Stevenson, another radio show host on your network. Had you've already spoken to him about it, because he was one of our speakers.
Yeah, he went way up north, there wasn't quite the welcome from the hotel and whatnot that he was expecting, because somebody found out something. What happened?
Well, it appears, and I will say allegedly, this is what allegedly happened. We were holding a completely lawful and respectful event. Everyone there was dressed absolutely appropriately, suit, shirt, tie, etc. We had a range of very, very good speakers. We have a code of conduct, which means people are bound to behave in a sensible and respectful manner. However, despite that, it appears that the hotel in question decided to give out the details of our conference to a hostile third party, who then attempted to have the conference stopped. And that obviously caused quite a significant amount of trouble for us as a group. And unfortunately, the venue, strangely and very unfairly, attempted to side with these troublemakers over us. I mean, we were the people who were paying them. We had paid over £15,000 for the use of the venue, and they decided that they were going to actually attempt to prevent us from holding our conference, despite the fact that we had paid in advance, and despite the fact that we had done nothing that was in any way illegal or immoral. We were just doing what we had actually paid to do. So this caused somewhat of a kerfuffle, that's what we'll call it. And in fact, we stood our ground and we said, we're not leaving. We are not going anywhere. We are not basically going away. We have paid for this. We are doing nothing illegal. And at that point, they said, well, we are. And they called the police. And we then again, we dug our heels in. We dug our heels in and we said that we were refusing to go anywhere and that we were actually going to stay because we had paid this sum of money and we expected, and rightfully so, that we weren't to be kicked out or to be denied our rights. And we stuck to our guns. And because we stuck to our guns, the police actually brokered a deal between us and the hotel. The police said, yeah, we know you've done nothing wrong. You should be allowed to stay. You should be allowed to have your conference. And we did hold our conference. In the face of that adversity, we held our conference. It was a phenomenal success. And very interestingly, despite the left trying to convince themselves and the general public that the event had been stopped and that they had infiltrated our group and that they were there on site and it was complete chaos, one particular group was saying that they had people there and that we were in complete turmoil, that people were losing their tempers, people were demanding refunds, the whole event had been called off. And then later that day, at around 6:30, when the event came to a close, we obviously proudly announced what a success it had been. And this group was in complete meltdown and damage control because it not only showed that they were lying, but it showed that they did not have the intel or boots on the ground that they claimed to have. So the day was full of absolute wins. And at the end of it, I don't think I've ever seen such a buzz. Not only was this the biggest conference that has been held, the biggest ethno-nationalist conference that has been held in Britain since the year 2000, but it was also the event that probably has generated the most buzz for any nationalist group, because at the end of it, not only were our supporters very, very happy, but our enemies were absolutely enraged by the fact that against all the odds, we had managed to pull this off and that we were obviously walking away the victors.
Wow. Well, that's great. So just, I have a question regarding how do you think this happened? Do you think that the leftist group, what was it? Do you know the name of the group? Is this that something not hate group?
Well, there were several groups. One of them was calls themselves Red Flare, and we believe they purchased a ticket, got wind of the redirection point, and then used that information to actually ring hotels and conference centres within a certain radius. And we have been, it has been alleged that the hotel in question admitted, basically gave out our details, which is, from our point of view, if that is what happened, is very morally wrong. But also, it may well be a breach of data protection legislation too.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it was this group just tricking a naive employee into...
We don't know. I mean, obviously, we are looking into legal options because, I mean, I personally find it absolutely disgusting that paying customers would be treated in this way. And I have already been speaking. The hotel owes us a sizable refund for this. And I have been speaking to a legal representative, our solicitor, and he will be helping us to reclaim the money that we are rightfully owed.
So your owed money, is that because were able to have the conference, you didn't have the lovely sit-down dinner that you had paid for?
Yeah, they said that we were free to hold the conference and that they would provide all of the services that we'd paid for the day event. But they said they, you know, as a compromise, they would do all that and we would get a peaceful event, but they will... unwilling to go ahead with the evening meal, and would we settle for going elsewhere? And I said, absolutely, but we want a full refund for everybody who paid for those evening meals, and they weren't provided. And we are pursuing that now. But the hotel also despite the fact there were elderly people there, there were people with disabilities, there were pregnant women there, the hotel at a certain point reneged on their agreement and refused to even serve basic services like water to the conference. And at that point, I mean, that's obviously completely appalling behavior. But when you've got people there who are, as I say, you've got pregnant women, etc., at the event, and they're being denied basic services such as water, we will be seeking legal advice on that as well, because I'm not sure whether it's even, as I say, legal to deny people those kind of basic services.
And how about the response in the media, whether we're talking about the, you know, the mainstream broadcast media, or whether we're talking about, say, news websites where this type of thing gets written up and there might be a comment section?
Well, I haven't seen any comment sections as of yet. The media has bitten on this. They're obviously very interested that this took place. But I will say this, the media have been very honest about the number of people who were in attendance. The media haven't shied away from reporting the truth on that. We had 140 people in attendance, and the media have basically been saying around 250 people were in attendance, which is very impressive. And the media have also shown photos from the event. Those photos were taken from the back of the room, so you couldn't see any faces. But you can clearly see the room is absolutely packed. And you can also clearly see that everyone in the room is dressed in suits, shirts, ties, dresses. People were dressed very, very smartly. It was a very professional event. We always have a code of conduct, and our code of conduct has a dress code to ensure that the people there are, you know, looking professional, and so that it sets the right tone. It sets a tone of excellence, which is one of the things that nationalism is all about. It's all about promoting excellence and showing the world that we as a group have very, very high standards, and that we wish to better not only ourselves, but better the whole pro-white community and see our people flourish. That's one of the reasons we always have these very, very high standards. So I think people seeing that not only there was such a wonderful turnout, but also seeing that it was a very, very high quality event, I think it's great publicity for us. And if anyone goes to the Patriotic Alternative website, they will see the amount of comments on the article. Obviously, these comments aren't just our people. These comments are also people who have probably found our website now thanks to this publicity. They will see just how well received the event was. And so far, I don't think I've ever been to an event where people have walked away so happy and felt so triumphant. And this week, the speeches will all be going online. People will be able to hear commentary about the event. And I think the left will be obviously very, very angry that we've pulled this off. But our people will be obviously over the moon about this, because it's a huge triumph in the face of such adversity. But obviously, I don't want to speak extensively about the situation with the hotel until it's cleared up. And when it is cleared up, I will be issuing a full statement or doing a full live stream on the matter, because as far as I am concerned, to be treated in this manner is absolutely appalling. I think, you know, we were denied our human rights.
Yeah, and well, I mean, we're seeing this all over the place. We're seeing, you know, there was an attempt 4 years ago and a few months in Charlottesville to have a get together, not a conference, but a rally in defense of statues in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I want to talk about that in just a second, but right before we get to that, so you had speakers, and the speakers, their speeches will be online. They're not online yet, but you know, you and us, we are always accused of being haters and just being awful people, and that we don't deserve freedom of speech. It's not that they're anti-freedom of speech. It's just that we're so undeserving of it, so we don't deserve it. I mean, is like freedom of speech, sure, but not that free. So your speakers, I mean, what were they, what were the awful, horrible things that they were demanding? Were they, I mean, were there specific proposals, specific demands?
Or demands to the hotel, or specific demands to society in general? Well, I would say our speakers, very, very reasonable people. There were six speakers. They were all very erudite. The speeches were superb. They were very, very well received, I must say that. And during those speeches, I think that they were all really commentary on what's going on in the real world, in the modern day, you know, political discourse. And we were talking about, I mean, I personally, people will be able to hear it. I spoke about making small victories, and my speech was largely about the fact that when people get involved in nationalism, they think about the big victory. They think about the ultimate victory we want to achieve. And they then think about the long road that we have to tread to achieve that particular victory, and how victory can seem a long, long way off. And that can be depressing, because ultimately we want to get where we're going, and knowing that it's such a long way away can be something that's demoralizing. And I talked about how victory isn't a simple binary. Victory isn't a one or a zero. Along the way to the ultimate victory, there are many, many small victories that we should all celebrate and we should all talk about. And I went through those. So mine was very much a white pilling speech. It was a speech about how far we've come since we set out on this journey and how much we've achieved. Now, there were different speeches. Paul Edward Stevenson, your fellow radio host over on RBN, he gave a superb speech about the people who are pulling the strings, about those in these ultimate seats of power. And that was very, very interesting indeed. We had a wonderful young speaker called Wesley Russell. He gave a very, very comprehensive speech on why the Conservative Party can't be trusted. Laura gave an amazing speech on the butterfly effect. She gave the keynote speech of the day. Jodie Kay, she gave a very, very impassioned speech about how she found her way to this movement and how this movement is a movement of hope. And it's much maligned by our enemies, who try to make out that the movement is something dark or something sinister, but it's actually...
It's not hope, but it's hate.
Yeah, and she gave a very, very important speech about that. And finally, Sam Media, Laura's husband, gave a speech about how he's come to Patriotic Alternative and become an activist, and how important activism is, and how important it is to be there and active in real life. And I think that was a very important speech, because really what we saw at the weekend is what community really means. Now, we talk about forming a pro-white community and about the power that could give us as a group. And we demonstrated that at the weekend, when you've got 240 people in a room, showing that we do have the power to resist attempts to shut that down. Well, that power comes from numbers. That power comes from standing up. It comes from standing together. And I know that you and I have often discussed things like this on this very show. We've talked about the power our enemies have because they act as a group, the power that our enemies grant other ethnic minorities because all other ethnic groups stand together as a group. And I think the important thing is, at the conference at the weekend, we ably demonstrated that ultimately, when we do the same as other ethnic groups, when we stand together and refuse to be moved, we get our way. And let's face it, if a conference was being held by BLM, if a conference was being held by a gay rights group or a Muslim advocacy group, those groups would never have, it would have never even been on the cards that their events would be stopped. And if somebody had tried to stop those events, they would have stood together and advocated as a group for their rights, which is exactly what we did.
Okay, well, we'll be right back, and we're going to continue this discussion.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
We are back, and Mark, we're talking about your conference, and we had in the United States, we used to have conferences. Stormfront used to have conferences. They were attacked. They were under siege. You know, they wound up moving to remote state parks in the Blue Ridge Mountains, but even then would be hunted down by Antifa and or other leftist groups. And there used to be, I guess Jared Taylor used to put on conferences. I guess he still can, but of course Jared Taylor, he's still able to because he invites... Let me just say, he invites Jews, and they're Jew-friendly, so to speak. Richard Spencer used to put on conferences, and he would get some important people to attend and speak. People like Kevin McDonald could go to his conference and speak. Well, those got shut down. And one of probably the turning point in the ability of ethno-nationalists in the United States, at least white nationalists in the United States, to do real-life events. The turning point was really Charlottesville. And right now, Richard Spencer is among the defendants at a trial in Charlottesville that just started, I guess did it just start on Friday or something? Last week they were selecting jurors, and maybe it just started on Friday. It's going on right now. And so Richard Spencer is a defendant. Jason Kessler, who's been on the show a few times.
What are they actually on trial for? Sorry to butt in, but what are they actually on trial for? What are the actual charges?
So I believe this is a civil trial. It's not a. It's not a. It's not a.
Not a criminal. Yeah.
And because it's not a criminal trial, they're not. They're not availed free legal defenses. So they have to pay for their own lawyers. And because even somebody like Richard Spencer, who I think is from a relatively affluent family, because he's been under attack so long, he has. You know, he hasn't been able to earn a living, and he has no money for a lawyer. One of the defendants is Chris Cantwell, and Chris Cantwell is somebody I've never met, never spoken to. I heard his radio show once, and it wasn't something that was appealing to me. And apparently he has, at least in the months after Charlottesville, because he was in jail. He was arrested at Charlottesville, and he was in jail, and apparently was cooperating. And he has had, I guess, some bizarre testimony at the beginning of the trial, where he was dropping N-word bombs and quoting from Mein Kampf, and being very much the kind of defendant that the prosecution would love to have. So this is a show trial. It's intended to be a show trial. The main lawyer who's bringing it is one Roberta Kaplan. I guess she's somehow accusing them in a civil suit of having planned violence, having planned this. And of course,
just out of interest, if they were to get off with this, then would it being a civil case that's being brought against them, if they were to actually get away with it, we'll get off with this, if they were to found some not guilty, so to speak, would they get would she have to compensate them for time wasted?
I don't think she would. I think this is intended, and pretty openly intended, as a harassment and a deterrent for any white nationalist to do anything in real life, because look what can happen to you.
You see, in the UK, if you were to bring a civil case against me, and the civil case fell, and there wasn't, in the end, it was proved that I had done nothing wrong and I didn't actually owe you any money, that would mean you would have to cover all of my court costs and potentially compensate me for other losses that were a result of you bringing about this case. So let's say I spent £150,000 defending myself and the case went in my favour. You would then have to find £150,000 to pay for my costs, the cost that I'd run up.
It's my understanding, and I could be wrong because I don't have a lot of experience in this type of thing, that in order to be compensated, the defendants would have to launch a countersuit themselves. They'd have to go through the courts in order to do that. It wouldn't
That's
happen.
A bizarre system. So there's no real protection then whatsoever for people who are being defamed or attacked.
Well, yeah, and they are being defamed and attacked. And of course, the whole idea is that they are that they planned this in advance. Now, the way events unfolded was the Virginia governor at the time, Terry McAuliffe, that he declared a state of emergency, and the white nationalists obeyed the state of emergency. They left. There was the one young man from Ohio who came alone and apparently was lost in the narrow, centuries old streets of Charlottesville, many one way streets, and he was attacked, and while being attacked and trying to flee, he wound up hitting this fat demonstrator. And these demonstrators had no right to be marching through the streets because they also were subjected to the governor's order. But this one girl died. At any rate, we're up at the break. There's more to this because this former governor is running to be governor again. He looks like he's going to lose today, but we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, we are back. So this was, you know, this is this big show trial. It's intended as a show trial. It's also intended, openly intended, to bankrupt the various organizations involved. I think Identity Europa is one of the groups. I think the League of the South is another group, and there are these individuals. Richard Spencer is, I guess, the headliner.
Just out of interest, I remember one time through the Charlottesville case, they were heavily harassing Dr. David Duke. Has that harassment of Dr. Duke now ended?
Well, what happened was David Duke, he 2 or 3 years ago, just wound up paying about, I don't know, $10,000. It was, he paid a fair amount of money in like some sort of settlement so he wouldn't be subjected to this, because he could see where it was going. And although obviously he had done nothing wrong, he was not an organizer. He simply showed up. He has enough experience to know that that's not. When the court is stacked, when the political system is stacked, that he just didn't want to be part of it. So that's what he.
So what done. You're saying is, he realized that ultimately, and this is terrible. We have to even say this, but he realized that ultimately, if it was to go in front of a judge, even if he was absolutely innocent, he realized that he would end up paying far more, because it went in front of a judge, then he would have didn't. So he just copped out early because that was the most financially sound method.
And yeah, and you know, in retrospect, that seems like it was a correct call for him. You know, it's not easy to raise money because all our venues for raising money, nobody has access to PayPal, nobody has access to GoFundMe or Patreon or any of these. We have Dr. Duke has had multiple bank accounts just shut down because of who he is, and so you know, there's this massive harassment. But Terry McAuliffe played that very critical role. He declared the state of emergency. The white nationalists obeyed. The Antifa and the Black Lives Matter did not obey. They stayed. They harassed the white nationalists as they were leaving. They harassed, they attacked them. And, you know, to read the articles from the press, they're just so lying. You know, they talk. There was this one event that was caught on film of these blacks, including one who had been earlier in the day using a homemade flamethrower in an attack on the rally participants.
I saw that.
Right. And then when the rally participants were obeying the state of emergency order and were trying to enter a parking lot to get their cars in order to leave, they were being attacked. And the flamethrower guy he grabbed at a flagpole that was being carried by a gentleman in his 60s. And the guy in his 60s tried to pull the pole back. He wasn't going to give up the pole. And then one DeAndre Harris bludgeoned the rally goer with a police flashlight. Now, mind you, why would you be carrying a flashlight at 12 noon in August? Right, it was obviously there for a club. He had stated in his own court case that it had been given to him by someone on that day. You know, so the Antifa were just handing out weapons to these blacks, and so he had bludgeoned the man. And when he bludgeoned the man, then three younger white rally participants pulled DeAndre Harris back and gave him a little bit of a 1-2. He fell down to the ground. Well, DeAndre Harris he winds up, you know, being absolved of any kind of wrongdoing. He raises about $150,000 through GoFundMe, buys a brand new Mercedes, and makes a rap video about, you know, attacking police. And the three people who had pulled him off are languishing in jail to this day. And so that's what people are doing, what people are saying. And in the media, it's such a lie. But the thing is, Terry McAuliffe is running for governor again. And it might be interesting timing that this is all happening at the same time as the trial, because Terry McAuliffe looks like he's about to lose. Terry McAuliffe is somebody who had been very close to the Clintons. He was the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, the titular head of the Democratic Party during the 2004 election, which, by the way, when he was the head of the Democratic Party, he was using this same kind of lawfare against Ralph Nader to try to not just keep Ralph Nader off the ballot, but also to cost him a fortune in legal bills in the process. But McAuliffe is about to lose. It seems he's about to lose unless he can pull out enough election fraud. It looks like he's about to lose because everybody is angry at him for supporting anti-white indoctrination in the school system and saying that white parents have no right to have any say in the education of their children.
He sounds like a thoroughly repugnant individual.
So he is. And, you know, the whole Charlottesville thing. And by the way, there is a book that has just been released about Charlottesville that actually seems to be fair about it. I don't know what the title is. I don't know what who the author is. I know that our friend Dave Gahari is putting together a book on it. He's had a spat of bad health recently, but that should be released soon about Charlottesville. So it's interesting, while this is going on, if Terry McAuliffe winds up losing this election, and there's a focus on Terry McAuliffe and how awful he is, and then, I mean, I don't know if that would impact this trial or not, but it should impact public opinion. And everything that they have said about Charlottesville for these past 4 years has just been full of lies. And the truth is out there. And so the question is the truth that is out there, is it ever going to reach the senses, the eyes and ears of enough of the public to make a difference? And I don't know.
Do you know what, Patrick? Mm-hmm. I've got to say this. When you say reach the public, in the case of Charlottesville, I'm not actually sure whether the public would care. I think most normal people in any state would think the tearing down of the statues was wrong. I think most normal people would believe that it was the right of Americans to express their opinions freely, regardless of what those opinions are. And I think most normal people would also agree that those same Americans had the right to freedom of association and freedom of protest. And I think that this would be something that would appall most normal Americans. But equally, I don't think most normal Americans would be watching a trial like this or actually be interested. And that's very, very disappointing. But when you look at the way that the protesters in Charlottesville were treated, and you compare that to the way that these thugs, rioters, and looters were treated during the summer of madness that was the summer of BLM, it is very illuminating, because it shows just how differently pro-white activists are treated to the way that pro-black activists are treated. And I've got to ask you this, because I genuinely don't know, but I if I was to take an educated guess, I know what I'd be putting my money on. Was anyone really arrested or tried or convicted for the riots and the damage caused over that summer of BLM madness?
There were some arrests, but the thing is, the arrests was much more of Antifa than of blacks, as far as I know. But here's the thing. The people who were arrested, they had access to, not just their own means of raising money, but there was massive amounts of money that was raised on their behalf, that was mobilized. I mean, you had, I think at the time it was Chlamydia Harris who was running for vice president for part of that summer, that she was campaigning to raise money for these people. There was like a legal defense for anybody who had been arrested in the riots, and so they were getting massively supported, through Black Lives Matter. Of course, Black Lives Matter was shaking down the corporations. I mean, you could say they were shaking down the corporations. Maybe some people might say no, the corporations were more the instigators than the ones who were being shaken down. They were doing this all willingly, but yeah, there were arrests, but because of a variety of things, and including these cities, many of these cities have prosecutors the district attorneys who had won elections on the back of George Soros money. There was no serious prosecution of them. So yeah, there were arrests, because the police do arrests, and the police in many places were kind of rolling over and withdrawing, but still the police in some places at least were doing arrests, and these riots were all over the country. But the prosecutors and the weren't prosecuting, and to the extent any prosecutors were prosecuting, there were the defendants had access to ample funds. So I don't think there was anybody who was held accountable to any extent that it could be a deterrent. In fact, they were, you know, they're incentivized to riot.
No, I agree. The reason I wanted to ask that is because I wanted to be 100% sure before I actually commented, but it is something that I would have expected. That is exactly what I would have expected from the system, that ultimately anything that white nationalists engaged in will be clamped down upon, whereas these BLM thugs, these rioting Antifa animals who tear apart cities, they just get away with anything. It's absolutely sickening.
People have been...
You know, when I say they get away with anything, that sounds like it's a real sort of boomer statement. Oh, they get away with it all. I don't mean it like that. I'm obviously not a boomer. I obviously understand the score. I understand what I'm talking about. I'm not somebody who is naive to all this. What I'm saying when I say they get away with it all, it's not that they get away with it all, is it? That's that would be like a boomer tier statement. They don't get away with it. They are actually encouraged to do it. Getting away with it would imply that the teacher sort of catches them and says, "Oh, I'm going to let you walk away, guys." But this isn't the case of a teacher catching a naughty child getting away with something and letting them walk away without punishment. This would be, in terms of the analogy that we're talking about now, the teacher actually putting the kids up to doing it and then obviously not punishing them in any way because the teacher's complicit in it. And I think that is what we are actually seeing here. The establishment themselves, and when I say the establishment, I obviously mean the politicians, I mean the judiciary, I mean the police departments, especially the FBI, they are absolutely complicit in this. They put these people up to these acts, and then essentially, obviously because they put them up to this act, they are never ever going to prosecute them for their criminality. And it is criminality. It's as simple as that. And we know that the establishment is fully backed by these large capitalist corporations, and they do play their role. They do ensure that these people have whatever money they need for any legal costs. It's a complete scandal, but it is a conspiracy against our people. It is a conspiracy against white people. It's a conspiracy against nationalists. It's a conspiracy against patriots, and that conspiracy is engaged in by all the aforementioned groups.
So today is election day, and you've got this Terry McAuliffe, who was the governor previously. Virginia does not allow for consecutive terms for its governor. So the past 4 years, the governor has been Northam, I think is his name. And he had kind of a rocky ride as governor. He was Governor Blackface and all this. He was largely attacked for things that weren't very consequential, but he had also endorsed a bill for basically post-birth abortion, which wound up failing. But and he's a medical doctor, so it's not as if he shouldn't know better. But you've also got a governor's race in New Jersey, and the governor of New Jersey is a former Goldman Sachs executive who's not Jewish. He's Irish. His name's Murphy. But New Jersey had some of the most restrictive shutdowns in the United States, and the idea, as far as I know, he'll likely be reelected. I haven't heard that his race is in doubt, and you know, so is it Stockholm syndrome? What is it? 'Cause there's a wide recognition. You see it in polling data that the country's going in the wrong direction. It's like, you know, 70% say it's going in the wrong direction. 21% say it's going in the right direction. People.
And all that matters is the 1% who say it's going in the right direction, and that is what's going to determine which direction it carries on moving in. Let's face it, that is the crux of the matter. You could have 99% say it's going in the wrong direction, but as long as the 1% that matters is happy with the progress being made, things will continue to progress in that direction.
Yeah, but you know, I overheard some people the other day saying that they were going to, you know, hand out literature at the polls or work the polls, and I know they're Democrats, and I just can't imagine what. But of course, there are people who wear masks all the time, and have been double jabbed and getting a booster, even though they both already had the deadly coronavirus. I don't know. Anyway, we're at the break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, KosherTify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher-certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out the kosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, so we're just got a few more minutes. I know people are going to be interested in these speeches that you and Laura Towler and Paul Stevenson and the other speakers made. When and where will they be able to access them?
Well, those speeches will be drip fed out this week. We're not putting them all up on the same day because then people only watch one or two. We're going to be putting out a speech per day, and my speech will be the last to go up, which will be this Friday on my BitChute and Odyssey, which means thankfully I actually do have a week where I don't have to do a scripted video, which I feel like I've been run over by a freight train with all the excitement of last weekend. So I'm actually quite happy to be back in the office and to be producing or catching up on emails and to be helping with a few bits and pieces behind the scenes and producing some stuff that I needed to do beforehand, but not spending a large amount of time producing a scripted video. I do have a couple of good videos out at the moment that I'm just tapping into my BitChute. I've got one actually at the moment about the government's anti-white terror strategy, the government's response to the killing of MP David Amos, and how rather than clamping down on immigration, they intend to clamp down on free speech instead. So please go and check that out. But all the speeches will be up by the end of the week.
Okay. And, well, that's something to look forward to. And so, you know, just one last thing. You are very, very consistent. You have these scripted videos that you do on a regular basis. You've got
which I've been doing since 2016. It's now late 2021, and I started these, I believe, in 2016. So, and I have done a video, scripted or otherwise, every Friday from 2016 right up to the current day, and without then, missing one.
And then on without missing one, and. You know, Wednesday you've got the Patriotic Weekly Review.
Yep.
And you've been doing that or its predecessor show for about the same period of time.
I can actually tell you, in total, PWR and Tutar before it have been going for 229 weeks.
Wow. And this is... You know, this is I do this show. I've done this show. I guess I've had over 1,000 episodes by now because it's been over 4 years, and I think I've had to revert to a rerun maybe 3 times or so in that period of time. And it's really tough because we don't get paid for this. And you know, I think of all the things if I had a budget, if I didn't have to have normie work, if I could hire somebody to do some, it would, wow, all the things we could do. But I am going to toot our own horns, and I don't take donations because I can't. I would if I could, but I can't. I had my credit card processor taken away, and I just figured, well, instead I will just show for RBN. But people can donate to you through super chats. What can they
can do? Or they can go to my page and send me cryptocurrencies and things like that, and obviously people are free to do that, and all donations are very, very gratefully received.
Yeah, but you know, the obstacles that we face, but we keep trying, and I appreciate you for being somebody not only who just is consistent and keeps trying, but who has brought in real life back to the movement through this this conference that you had. And I think that's actually it is a major win for us all. So thank you very much. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.